to want a blunt to be blunt. I wanted trees just to alter my mind. Now I find I'm wanting Jesus. Used to want to roll mad deep with a street clip. Want to hold the heat on the low like a secret.
Hey, welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas at www.themissiondelray.com. Give me that God who can give me all things. Give me that fire, that
flame. Give me that fresh wind. Give me that rain. How you doing?
Very well.
She's very well, thank you. So you got baptized on Sunday last week.
Yes, I did.
Yes, she did.
For the second time.
Now, that wasn't the first time you got water baptized, right?
No, it wasn't.
What was the deal? Tell us about that a little bit.
Okay. So I had gotten baptized about a year ago. And I have seen a lot of people get baptized numbers of times. And I never wanted to get baptized again. I just figured that was it. Once I get baptized, I've made my mind up. But the Lord was really just telling me I need to get baptized again. But when I went to go get baptized, it was already over. So I had to wait.
Before service, you're talking about. You were going to run out there, but it was already done.
Yeah, it was already over. So I listened to the service, and Pastor was just talking about faithful. Like, he used the example of a globe, how here's your old life and here's faithful on one side of the globe. And then here you are. You're not at your old life, but you can still see it. And you can still see, you can see faithful, but you're not, it's like you're there. You're there. You're like, I was in the middle, and I wasn't at my old life at all. So I just kind of had to kill that pride, I guess, and I just went and got baptized. And it was crazy because it was pouring out, it was raining, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to go get baptized. And God just really showed a fullness of him. The first time I got baptized, it was kind of like God introduced himself to me. I saw God for the first time. And then the second time I got baptized, it was just a fullness of God. I've never seen the complete fullness of God. I don't think I ever will until I meet him. But it was definitely a fullness of God. God showed a fullness of
him. What did you experience?
Like the perfect storm. It was crazy. It was like the perfect storm.
What does
and
that
the
mean?
Holy Spirit.
What does
just
that mean?
The Holy Spirit was like all around me. It was all around me. It was kind of like I was in another world. It was like I was in another world of the Holy Spirit all around me, like coming like a mighty wind, like coming like rushing waters, like all around me. Like that's what I mean by the fullness of God, like the power of God, how his Holy Spirit can just come when you think that you've already experienced it. It comes even more. And it's crazy to see myself going through it because it's like I see myself in another eyes, like how God sees me.
What have you experienced this week? Since then you got out of the water, and what does it feel like? What is different? People would say fruit. You know what?
Well, the fruit. Let me tell you, I started fasting that day. My husband and I started fasting together. And it wasn't a fast that we wanted to do. We really didn't want to do it.
If people want to fast, I worry about them a little bit, just to be honest with you.
We really didn't want to do it. But we knew it was from God, so we're doing it. So God's really just taking out old things that I needed to get out, and it's really God's time to talk. I've prayed to God for a long time, and now it's his time to talk and tell me things. And vibing in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was filled with the Holy Spirit in the baptism, so
amen.
I've just been vibing in it.
Amen. Amen. Give her a hand, y'all. Good job. Put that up right over there. Good job. She had no idea she was coming up, so, you know, that wasn't coached. Or on a quick note of doctrine, you know, people say, you know, do you multiple baptisms? And, you know, the Bible says repent and be baptized, you know, and as... I don't believe there's salvation in the waters, but I know I don't want to test that. You know, he says, repent and be baptized. I don't believe that the baptism water saves you. But I do know we're supposed to get water baptized. And I believe after you get saved, after you come to the understanding that you need Jesus and you receive him as your Savior, you're to get water baptized. That being said, I've come to the altar more than once. I've repented more than once. And we never preach it's a requirement to get water baptized more than once, but people wind up just doing it. And I just say be led by the Holy Ghost. I don't see a biblical need to be water baptized more than once, but I don't see a biblical prohibition or prohibiting you from being. So that's where I'm at on that. Just to let you know, if you have a problem with the baptism more than once, then I say don't get baptized more than once. It's, you know, but if other people feel leading, and I'll come to the altar, I'll get water baptized, I'll wash feet, I'll give whatever it is. Amen. Amen. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 16. If you would, it's so wonderful to be here with you today, preaching the Word of God. Very excited about life in general. Anybody started Christmas shopping yet? I meant for me. Has anybody started Christmas shopping for me yet? I'm just joking. My wife and I, we've talked about Christmas shopping. We planned our Christmas photos a couple months ago. We haven't actually taken them. You know, this time of year seems to just kind of sneak up on you, right? And the budget doesn't seem to be like waiting for you to spend it. It's just, I don't know how that works. You know, the money should be there because I haven't spent it on Christmas yet, but it's just, you know, I don't know. All right, Luke chapter, I need my Bible, don't I? Okay. Luke chapter 16, if you're there, let me hear you say, yeah. Luke 16, we're going to start. Start with verse 8, all right? As you probably already know. This is Jesus talking, so we know it's important. The master, verse 8, right? The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. Verse 10. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Verse 11. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You say amen. Father, we just love you today. I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak upon this word, Father. And we just ask, and with this whole message series, that your anointing would be so tangible, that you would impart it to your people, Lord, that you would activate them for ministry. You would bubble up on the inside of them, that you would give them hope for greater things. Father, that you would impart yourself. You would impart yourself and your workings. Father, we ask that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see your truth today. And Father, I pray for those who are sitting under the sound of my voice who don't know you, they would have a divine encounter with you by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. We're in our anointing series. Do we have the anointing? Look at that graphic right there. We're in the anointing series today. And I've seen so much fruit from it already. And I'm so excited about what God is doing at the mission. Next week, say next week. Next week is going to be our impartation service. We're going to be talking about impartation, and then we're going to do it. We're going to have a fire tunnel probably, and it's going to be fairly exciting, I think. Also, at the beginning of service, Camille is going to be leading the mission worship band. Yes? It's going to be good. Don't want to miss it. Tell your neighbor, don't want to miss it. Bring a friend. Nobody told nobody. That's sad. That's all right, though. So we're in our anointing message series, and we've talked about that the power of God is for today. That religion comes in and tries to suck out everything tangible of God out of religion. Religion, the spirit of religion, which God said is good and perfect religion, has a manifestation. Dead religion tries to suck God out of, and turn religion into rituals. Okay? But we know that Jesus did not die on the cross to give us new rituals. He did not die on the cross to puff us up, to make us great, but that he would be made great through us on the earth. Jesus came so that the tangible presence and power of God can flow on the earth today. Amen? Amen. And we've talked about this in really 2 Corinthians 4:18. If you don't have that scripture, write it down. It says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, means they're passing away, they're moving, they're not forever. They're transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. They're eternal. I want to store up for myself eternal riches. I don't want the transient riches of this world to be the qualification or the measure of my life. I don't want to die and then say he was a great guy because he had these businesses or, you know, he was famous or none of those things will go with me to heaven. None of those things will go with me to heaven. The things that most of this world is spending their entire life to gain will not continue longer than their own life. They're transient. They're passing away. A man of God said it this way. He said, there's things I need to do on earth that I don't get any reward for. Because there has to be some reward waiting for me in heaven. If you get to heaven and there's no reward waiting for you, that's a problem. And I don't just want that to happen by happenstance. I want to be actively engaged in that happening. Are y'all with me? Is anybody with me today? Does anybody believe? Is anybody with me on the same page that God wants to anoint people and he wants to store up riches for you in heaven? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you also believe that the minister gets to eat the first fruit of the breakthrough? In the old covenant, the priest, there would be a boiling pot, there would be the offering, and he'd put his hook in there and he'd get the first fruit of it. Well, the Bible says that we're a kingdom of priests. I go to intercession every week, and what's really cool about intercession to me is I get to eat the first fruit of the breakthrough. The breakthrough we experience on Sunday mornings, we already saw it Friday night. We already saw it on Friday night. Amen. How many of the intercessors know what I'm talking about? We come in here, the glory of God comes in, and we experience it, and God talks to us, and we see what he's going to do, and we intercede, and we pray for you. We pray for your friends, we pray for your family, we pray for your neighborhood, we pray for your schools, we pray for those who knew God and walked away, we pray for those who didn't know God and haven't walked in yet. We pray for all kinds of stuff. And then we get to come in Sunday morning and just watch it happen. Now, because of that intercession, we have a reward waiting for us in heaven. However, we get the first fruits of it on Sunday morning. Well, you know, one of the prophetic intercessors come to me and say, Pastor, I just really feel like this is happening and God's doing that. And then Sunday morning, we'll just, you know, the Holy Ghost will move and we'll just see it. And we get excited partially because God is doing miracles, which we like. We're pro-miracle at the mission. We're pro-God. We're pro his stuff. But at the same point, we also are excited because God let us see it. He said about Moses, look, I will do nothing on the earth unless I show first my servant the prophet. And I'm like, woo, that was me. And you. I mean, you know, that's cool. I like that. So, but I'm living for a world. I'm living for a reward. I'm living not for what I can see with my eyes right now. I'm living for the unseen. We talked last week about, you know, this little phrase I started using called Faithville, which isn't actually in the Bible as you know, per se, and it's not a book yet. But we talked about our natural identity that we're born into, and we talk about where we're called to. The unseen is what Paul called it in 2 Corinthians. We look not to the things that are seen, but to the unseen. Where are you going in Christ? Where are you supposed to wind up? I don't know exactly. Right now it's unseen. But I'm walking by what? Faith. I have faith. I have not seen what I'm going to be or where I'm going, but I know it's in this direction, and so I'm going there. Remember Abraham? He's like, okay, I have to. God said, get up and get out of this country. Okay, where am I going? I don't know, but I'm going. I'm going looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I've seen the city that man makes. It's my natural identity, and I'm just not impressed. I've seen religion that man makes, I'm not impressed. I've seen success that man makes, I'm not impressed. I'm looking for the city whose builder and maker is God, and I'm looking to be me personally. I'm looking to be a city on a hill whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking to be transformed into the man of God that Jesus envisioned when he created me. Not the Carl Thomas that the world created, that I was shaped into before I came into Christ. I'm laying that down so I can be the person that Jesus Christ envisioned me to be. That's our role as Christians. That's it. That's the goal. The goal is that. And we can add a whole lot of good stuff onto it, and a lot of good character stuff, and a lot of good fruit stuff, and a lot of good even ritual stuff. But the bottom line is, the church collectively are called to be transformed individually. And as we're transformed individually, then we fit together collectively and we can be the church of Christ on the earth. You know, it's like God's putting together a jigsaw puzzle on the planet. And all the pieces are wrong when he picks them up. But those who stay in his hand get transformed to be the puzzle piece they're supposed to be. And so they can actually be that mosaic that Jesus Christ is trying to reflect to the world of himself. That's good. I've got to put that in the book. That's good stuff right there. See? But too many people, they don't get that full transformation. And they say, no, it's not about me. It's just about doing good works. Well, yeah, good works are, they're called good for a reason, you know, because they are good works. But that's not the totality of it. And other people just say, it's just about me being changed, having a good heart, me. And no, it is about your transformation, yes, but no. That's not the end of it. What we're to do is be transformed into the image of Christ and do the works he's called us to do. Y'all with me here? And he would not call us to do something he's not equipped us to do. You hear me? So many people say, oh, Lord, I hope you don't send me to... If there's something that you don't want to do, you're probably not called to it. I mean, unless it's, live in righteousness. Then you're probably not in Christ, But the thing God has called you to, your heart will burn for it. There's people, you're folks who are searching for love and searching for identity and searching for acceptance and they go all through the world looking for it. It's because there's a special place in Christ that you're to embrace that and share it with other people. But you search for it in the world and you're unfulfilled. But God has a call for you in that area. And so for today, I'm dragging this intro on way too long. So today, I want to talk to another aspect about the anointing. And really, this is two messages in one. I don't want to stretch this out because next week we have to get to the impartation. We're having a Christmas service December 26th, and we may or may not talk about the birth. I mean, we may or may not have a Christmas service. We'll just have to see what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. I'm not going to be bound by the calendar on what Jesus is saying. Just got to be honest with you. I'm talking right now. I'm not. This message is not going to be for everybody in the room. I'm sorry, it's not. This is building upon truths that we've already laid the foundation for. And if you haven't got this foundation, it may be lost on you. But there's a certain group in the room, and I want to speak to you, and I want to impart faith in things that you're already doing. If you do things out of rote religion and you don't do them in faith, it's possible you're not getting all the fruit from the act that you're doing. Good works can just be good works if you're not doing them in faith. Okay? So, we've talked before that takers can never take enough and givers can never give enough. And we all find ourselves to be either givers or takers. Either we're waiting for somebody to hook us up or we're looking for other people to hook up. We're either someone whose heart's desire is to equip other people and push other people forward, or we're people who are waiting for other people to drag us forward. We're waiting for people to do us, or we're looking to do for others. I mean, it's a simple mentality and a heart thing. And I want to talk to you today who are givers, who you've already understood the truth of giving, and I'm not it's not my desire today. We have messages on this online. You can download them on why you're to be a giver. And if that's not where you're at, then just believe the anointing will touch you and you'll just have a good meeting, even if you don't agree with what I'm saying or understand it. But for those of you who already have decided in your heart that you're a giver, I want to, my goal today is to have a new avenue of the anointing in your life. That you can understand what you've already got access to but may have not tapped into. In the spirit realm. Are you with me here? When you look at the ministry of Jesus, and I don't believe that all scripture has to be brought into context as far as social context, and it changes over time, but you do have to understand who he was talking to and who his audience was when you read scripture. You can't just take one phrase out of a book he wrote to a church in Rome and apply it necessarily, specifically, to an entirely different circumstance, and just because these five words are together, they fit in every circumstance. Does that make sense? I mean, the Bible says that we're to encourage those who are hurt, and we're to rebuke the rebellious. Okay? If you rebuke somebody who's hurt, you're going to cause more damage. If you encourage the rebellious, you're just going to encourage, you know, they're just going to get more rebellious. So you have to know the word in season. Amen? Y'all with me here? This is going to be really good, I'm trying to tell you. So you have to understand, in when Jesus and the culture God was talking to is different than the culture in America. If you've ever known a lot of Arabic people or people from that region of the world, their culture is a little more confrontational than ours. If you know Israelis or you know Arabs, they're just more confrontational in their society than we are. And how they communicate. You know how like when New Yorkers come down and we're like, they're so rude. And they can't drive. I don't know what the driving has to do with it, but people are just like, they're just so rude. But you go to New York and it's not rude. It's just how people are. You know, and if somebody's looking at you in the subway, you know, and you're in New York, it's like, apparently they want to fight me because you just don't look at people. Good thing I brought a knife. You know, we're going at it now. You know? But in South Florida or you know, in the South, it's like if people aren't talking to you and want to gauge you in conversation, then all of a sudden, why are they so rude? Why aren't they looking me in the face? Why aren't they? You know, because there's a context to this. You understand what I'm saying? You ever, like, come from South Florida and go to, like, the Deep South in Alabama or something, and you're at the checkout counter, and you're like, why is this taking so long? Can we please hurry up? Has that happened to anybody? Like, why is this taking so long? Will you please stop? I remember I was in, where were you, Alabama, Tennessee or something, and I'm at the post office, and they're having a conversation. I'm just like, good Lord, please strike them with lightning or something. I just want to get out of here. This is killing me. And so I get up to the window. I'm, you know, it's got to mail some stuff, and I'm like, you just want to get this? Hi, where are you from? I'm from that place in line, and I'd like to go home. I don't want to be from here. You know, I don't want to be here so long that I re-identify with this place. Trying to leave. You know, but in context, you know, to me, I'm like, why are you inconveniencing me by taking so long? And she's probably saying, why are you so rude? I can't wait to get you out of here. Because we're coming from different paradigms. You understand what I'm saying? So we look in Scripture, and if we look at Scripture wrong, we can misunderstand what God is trying to convey to us. You hear me, right? All right, so let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 15, there's the woman who had a child who was demonized. Remember this? They were demonized, and the woman came to Jesus, and she wasn't a Jew. And she's like, hey, look, can you come and heal my kid? And Jesus is like, nah, I didn't come for y'all. I came for the children of the lost sheep of Israel. And she wasn't a Jew. So he's like, look, I wasn't sent here to minister to you. And she's like, come on, man. You got the power to heal my kid. All this rigmarole. Just come do it. Which, you ain't doing nothing. Come on. And he's like, nah, it's not good to throw the children's bread to the dogs. Now listen, she had an opportunity to be offended, right? But what if you look at this in through a biblical perspective, in that time, he was challenging her right there. She says to him, well, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs off the table. Jesus said to her this. He says, oh, woman, how great is your faith? See,
She's not looking at the world or being treated correctly or how he talks to her. She wasn't identifying with this realm. And Jesus, in the confrontation, is saying, I'm laying this challenge down. What are you going to do with it? You know, we talk all the time at the mission about your obstacles come not to slow you down, but to show you that you have the victory. You pray for financial breakthrough, and then, you know, your tires go flat the very next day. And people say, oh, the devil heard my prayers, and he canceled God's hand, or, you know. I prayed for, you know, my kids, and then, you know, but no. The devil didn't do anything. God just gave you an opportunity to see breakthrough right there. Time and again, he would tell the Jews to go into this land and go. And immediately there's an opponent. And he's like, no, I put them there so you can see that you can defeat them. Right? I mean, this is it. This is it. And so here's this woman coming to Jesus. Jesus immediately gives her an obstacle. Nah, you're a dog. What did she say? Oh, the devil's coming again. No, that's Jesus. He's not the devil. So she's like, no, my heart is set. My heart is set on seeing this breakthrough. I'm not looking to these things happening around me. I've already decided you are the Messiah. You can heal, therefore you will heal my child. What you say is irrelevant at this point. Now hear me. Because I've already grasped this truth that you are a compassionate God who wants to heal and deliver. And nothing will change this truth. Because she held on to the things that were unseen, not the seen, she could have looked and said, oh, he's not nice. Oh, he's not a healer. Oh, he's coming against me. Oh, his heart is not to. No, that's the scene. That's the natural realm. That's transient. I won't get dragged into this. You know, we raise our kids and they say, you know, man, this guy made me do that. We say, no, nobody can make you do nothing. That's your choice. That's your choice. I heard, man, for the first time, I gave glory to God. Heard a testimony this week of this pastor, this real senior pastor, and he wound up having an affair on his wife. I think it was a non-sexual affair, but I'm not sure. But he and his wife were, they received healing, and the marriage was saved, and they've gotten beyond that. But the testimony, that's not the testimony. The testimony is, he's standing there, and he's like, look, wasn't my wife's fault? Wasn't the other woman's fault? He says, I don't even blame it on the devil. I just let down my guard, and I just chose sin. I said, glory to God. Somebody taking responsibility for the actions in their life. It wasn't the devil's fault. It wasn't your wife's fault. It wasn't the, you know, oh, she was a Jezebel and tempted me. No, she didn't do none of that. You chose to enter into sin. My Bible tells me in James it's born in your heart. It's not even born in hell. Anyways, so this woman had a choice. Am I going to enter into offense or am I going to enter into faith? And because she chose to enter into faith, instead of this world system of offense and respect and coming up, she rose above that, entered into faith, she got her blessing. Okay? So if we look back to our scripture here in Luke chapter 16, he says, listen, verse 10, he says, one who's faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who's dishonest in a very little will be dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you in true riches? Now, through our perspective, through the English language, it looks like God's speaking a curse for those who are not faithful with their money in giving. I don't believe that's what this scripture is saying at all. What I think he's saying is he's challenging them to prove God that he can be faithful in true riches if we are faithful in unrighteous riches. You catching this? Now, the what I want you to understand is for those of you who are givers, what you do with your money has eternal consequences. There is an eternal reward when you are faithful in unrighteous things. The Bible shows us right here. If we're faithful, let me read this in the Amplified. Amplified Luke 16, listen to this. It says, 16 verse 8 and then verse 10. We're going to skip ahead. He says, do you have that Amplified? Yeah. He says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust to you the true riches? Say true riches. Verse 13. No servant is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, riches, or anything in which you trust and on which you rely. You hear this, right? Okay, so we talk about living in our natural identity versus living in faith. You can't live both places. If you live in natural understanding, faith doesn't make any sense to you at all. It's illogical. Faith is illogical. The fact that a guy got murdered 2,000 years ago, and because I believe that story, I'll go to heaven, that's illogical. I mean, we hear it so much, it makes, you know, of course it makes sense. No, it really doesn't make sense at all. That makes no sense at all. That's like saying, you know, I heard Mikey's neighbor got, you know, kicked in the head. And if I believe Mikey in that, then I'll get a pony for Christmas. And you're like, how can those two be connected at all? Well, those aren't, obviously. But, you know, but God did send his son Jesus to die on the cross to be the propitiation of our sins, that whoever believes in that shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's just truth, and it takes faith to understand it. Faith, remember, is either the fruit of the Spirit or a gift of the Spirit. It comes from God. Real faith comes from God that we have to embrace and multiply. Okay? So, y'all got to hear this. I want you guys to flow in true riches. What is true riches? True riches are those things that come down from heaven, not the things of this world. The world would have you believe that the right shoes and the right shirt and the right car and the right house and the right looking wife are true riches. And some would even say, you know, my kids being happy and healthy are true riches. And yes, God does want our families to be prosperous, but true riches come from heaven. I want everything heaven has for me. I want to demonstrate that, what we call the anointing on earth. I don't want the doctor's report to be the final answer on health in my family. I want to be trusted with true riches, things that come down from heaven. What the Bible shows us is he gives gifts to men. And when we get them, we get to decide how we're going to steward them. You are given salvation. What will you do with it? What are you going to do with the salvation God has given you? What are you going to do with the salvation? What are you going to do with the anointing God has placed on your life? Are you faithful in it or are you not? People say, I want more of God and I want this healing and I want this breakthrough. Have you been faithful with what he's already given you? And here's how he tests. He says, what are you doing with these earthly things? Let me look at what you're doing with these earthly things. Then I can see if I can trust you with heavenly things. Which is why financial accountability is so important in ministry. It's important. How do you handle earthly riches? Will determine how God can trust you in true riches. Now, I want you to know that when you give to God, and people say, you know, can you, if you don't tithe, are you cursed? Are you blessed? I believe once you're in Christ, you're blessed. You're just blessed. But if you're just looking to get to heaven, you've picked the wrong church this morning. If that's the goal, if the goal is to slide in at the end of your life and just get the stamp of Christian and that's good enough for you, you're at the wrong church today. That's not the goal here. The goal here is to be Christ's representative on the earth. The entranceway is salvation. We give our lives to Jesus. He gives us salvation, gives us the anointing, seals us with the Holy Ghost, gives us power, sends us out into the earth to do miracles, signs, and wonders. That is our goal at the mission. And so you might say, why am I not operating? Is anybody here? Does anybody desire this? Is anybody wanting the anointing today? I want more than salvation. I mean, I'm thankful for salvation, but I'm not done. That's not the end. That's not the finish line. If you were just supposed to get saved and that's the end of it, then we would just have an altar call and water baptize you and then shoot you. You know, that would just be, okay, that's all there is. Go to heaven now. Thanks for coming. We would get you saved and we would water baptize you and leave you at the bottom. I mean, the thinking there is, this is as good as it will ever get for you now. There's nothing else out there. Let us just help you out and we'll just stand on you while you're in the water and we'll see you in heaven. I mean, like you get to the cross and that's all there is. I had a good friend in college who was Muslim. And, you know, once in your lifetime, in Islam teaches, one of the five pillars is the Hajj. And you're to go to Mecca, and you know you throw a rock at some mother. You know, have you seen that? And he said, you know, most people save that until they're very old. And I was like, why? And his name was Muhammad. And he said, well, it's because once you do that, you're absolved of your sin. And people don't want to do that too early. Because you got a whole lifetime left. And so they wait till they're old to do it. I'm like, well, as a Christian, it's just like, I would want that done as quickly as possible. But they're like, no, that's all there is. You know, that's it. That's, it's not like, you know, then you receive the Holy Ghost and you have power over sin. You know, that's all there is. And I was like, well, that's how a lot of Christians live. They get to the cross and nothing beyond. That's your Christian life right there. I'm saved and now I go to church. Why? Because we're supposed to. Okay. And I give 10% of my income. Why? Because we're supposed to. Read your Bible? Uh-huh. Why? Because we're supposed to. Any benefit to that? Yep, I memorized the Bible. Why? Because I'm supposed to. And I'm meeting my religious ritual by doing these things. Who's keeping the checklist? Because I thought once you get saved, is there more than receiving Christ as your Savior to being saved that I didn't know about? Like, you're saved, but now you haven't memorized the Bible, so now you're not saved anymore? I mean, how does that work exactly? I can see people getting to heaven and God saying, ooh, you've been tithing on the net and not the gross. Ah, so close, and yet, wow. Oh! You know, like there's some sort of magical requirement you have to meet to get to heaven. You know, it's like, no, faith in Jesus Christ. You know, and then, you know, you want to stay in Christ, you know, but, you know, you don't want to then give your life back to the devil. That's bad. I believe you can do that. I believe you can choose to, you know, forsake your salvation, but it's generally not an accident, you know. So what does that mean? I don't need to go to church. I don't need to memorize my Bible. I don't need to tithe. No. You do need to do all those things. Why? So I can produce fruit on the earth. Before I was saved, I read the Bible, and it didn't do me any good at all. Because I didn't have faith in it. There was no faith involved. The Spirit did not illuminate the Scriptures to me. And I didn't give because I didn't, well, probably because I was cheap, but I didn't, you know, I don't know that I was a giver per se. And I didn't go to church because I was a drunk and I was sleeping Sunday mornings. That's just, it is what it is. But listen, I believe, you know, at the mission, anybody can come to our services. You know, anybody who pays $15 can come to the Christmas service. You know, you just, you know. Christmas party, what'd I say? Christmas party. No, anybody can come to the Christmas service. Anybody can come to our Christmas party. There's not a, you know, in most temples, Jewish temples, you have to become a member and then you get a chair or something. I don't know how it works exactly. Anybody can come to our services. I don't, you know, you got money, you don't got money, you give, you don't give. Your person we don't like, your person we do like, doesn't matter. You can come, you know. And I do like most of you. I really do. I do. It's just majority of the people in here I just love. But to be a minister, we had, I hope she's not here right now, but we had people who wanted to minister. We have lots of people who want to minister at the altar. And we're just like, no, you can't minister at the altar. And it's not that we don't believe in the laying on of hands. We just don't know where yours have been. You know, that's what we tell people. And also, if you want to serve in a ministry position at the mission, this has to be your church. We don't want you, you know, I go to the, you know, some, you know, the church of funky spirits, and I'm going to come in here and, you know, I don't, people trust me, they come to the altar, and then I have, you know, Miss Funky Woman lay hands on them, and they're like, came in here with depression, I have depression and anxiety, thanks for nothing, you know? You know, that's, we have a special gift for you today, you know? Meet Jezebel, you know? No, that is not what we're trying to do. To be in a leadership position or ministry position at the mission, we have a couple requirements. And these aren't requirements for salvation. You hear the difference. But to be in a ministry position here, this has to be your home church. You got to come here every week. I have to be your pastor. It's amazing how people like, I go to this church, but, you know, I'm pastored by some dude in another state. Well, that's wonderful, minister in his church. I mean, you know what I mean? That's, you know, it's like I show up at Sears, you know, and I got a Jiffy Lube uniform on. No, no, I work on cars at Jiffy Lube, you know. I'll go ahead and I'll take this job. No, I don't think you will, actually. I'll fix this car because I work at Jiffy Lube. Work on the cars at Jiffy Lube then. I don't know what you're doing here. Well, there's no Jiffy Lube around here, so. Well, then you out of luck, you know, because we're not paying you to work on our cars. They pay us to do this. This is what we do. Does this make sense? You know, we use our Sears tools and we fix things the way Sears fixes them and we build the way and we use the Sears guarantee, but we're not going to have Jiffy Lube fix it. You know, can you imagine you showing up to Sears, you know, and say, yeah, hey, you know, I just got this repaired. It's already broken. I need you guys to fix it again. Oh, we don't have any record of you. Oh, no, I didn't get it fixed here. Who fixed it then? Oh, my uncle. He's an itinerant mechanic, you know, and I just had him. He fixed it, and it didn't work. It never works, but, you know, he's my uncle, so I, you know, I pay him to do everything. But I need you to fix it now. You got your uncle's phone number? Yeah. Well, you might want to call him. You know what I mean? It just kind of makes sense, you know? It's like when you try to, it's like, can you imagine? If I can just stick with this for a second? Can I, is this all right? Because this makes a lot more sense than you think. Imagine, you know, Sergio works for the church. He also works at Sears. He works, fixes cars there. So I looked at him, and that's where the Sears thing came from. It's not that I have anything against Sears. Sears, I don't, you know, I'm just using the example. Now imagine Sergio becomes like a manager at Sears, and he hires some people under him. Okay, I'm entrusting you to fix these cars the right way. And he sees a guy, and he's like, okay, let me just inspect your work. And, you know, he opens, and stuff is duct taped together, you know? It's like, dude, we don't duct tape things together here. This isn't. Well, my manager at the Sears in, you know, the Philippines said it's okay. But you ain't in the Philippines. This is Boca, and they don't let you do that in Boca. People aren't really down with that here. Well, that's okay that they do it there, and you can't tell me what to do. You can't control me. I'm free. I'm free. You can't tell me what to do. You're trying to put oppression on me. Haven't you heard of the discipleship movement? Haven't you heard of the... You're fired. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. You can do all that, just not here. So you can come to the mission and be whoever you want to be. I mean, unless you're a troublemaker, and then you can't come anymore. You know, but you can come and do whatever you want to be. But if you're going to minister here or be in leadership at the mission, you have to... This has to be your home church. You got to come every week. Yeah, you have to. I have to be your pastor, and you have to commit yourself to giving financially in this church. The tithe is what we consider. This is my church, and I'm a part of this church. I give 10% of my income gross to the church. I got Sergio. He's got a special database, and he knows all your pay, and so he cross references gross to no. I don't. I don't tell him to do it. He just does it. No, I don't. No, I don't. Can you see if... No. And you have to be open to correction. You have to be open to correction because you don't want to open yourself up to ministry to people who aren't under authority. You just don't. You don't want just, you know, I don't want to go to a Benny Hinn conference and have, you know, Joe whoever from wherever come and lay hands on me. That's not what I, you know. And so at this church, we say, okay, here's the requirement for being in leadership of this church. This has to be your church. And what does that mean? You come here every week. You're under authority. You give financially. You receive correction. You know, you're serving. This is part of being the church. And it's possible that you'll do all those things just so you can serve. And it's possible you do those things and you say, well, pastor, he ministered to me, my life has changed, therefore I'm going to do these things just out of blind obedience. And possibly that's a good starting point, but if that's where you've been, that's a problem. You have to understand that if you're faithful in these unrighteous things, then God has a reward for you. Well, I know Mikey tithes. He's excited about his reward. Could just be me and you. I don't know, dog, because I'm pretty excited about this. Now, people would say, look, you don't give just to get. And I say, amen. However, you do need to understand there is a reward, and it's okay to be motivated by the reward. Oh, is that in the Bible? The Bible says that Jesus endured the cross. Why? For the joy set before him. He knew there was a reward for him going to the cross. That's in the Bible. I mean, I don't know what to tell you if you don't like that. He said, look, I don't want to do this. Remember, he said to the Father three times, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, please hook me up. If not, your will be done. Why did he do it? Because God forsake him? No, for the joy set before him. We do offering confession every single week. Why? Because so it sounds good? No, because there is a reward to your faithful giving. And if you're not a giver and you don't believe me, you think I'm out to get your money, look, we already had the offering. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm not doing this to, you know, now we're going to have another one, and I really want you to dig deep. No, that's not the goal here at all. Next week, we are having a special offering. We're having a special Christmas offering, and here's the goal. Let Jesus receive your biggest gift this year. I want to challenge you. Unrighteous wealth, what are you doing with it? Who's going to get the biggest Christmas gift this year? We're going to have a special offering. It's going to go to missions. We're going to help Compassion International's orphan fund. We have an itinerant evangelist that we're going to help. And number three, we're going to do some upgrades at the church right here. You know, it's not like, you know, the ministers are going to get a cut. No, this is all going outward. This is not, you know, this doesn't affect any of that. But where is your heart at in giving? Where do you look for opportunities to give? Because God says if you're faithful and you're unrighteous, what? I mean, in Philippians chapter 4, he calls your offering. God says it's a sweet, fragrant aroma to him. You ever been around funky people? You ever been around people who just don't smell good frequently? You like hanging out with them? You know, when you fall in love with somebody and they find out, you know, you find out what their favorite perfume is, do you wear that less or more often? You start dating someone, they're like, oh, that smells good. You're like, okay, note to self, buy more of that. Lots more of that. He says that your offering is a fragrant aroma. God is so far from me. He's so far. Are you giving? Are you giving? It's a fragrant aroma. If you're faithful in your giving, I want to tell you, there's areas of your life that you need more of God. Trust God. He finds your offerings a fragrant aroma. In faith, I want you to look at your giving statement. You can go online and look at it anytime you want. There's a link from our website. You log into CCB, you can look at it. Lord, look at this in the name of Jesus. This is a fragrant aroma before you. I hold my offering up every Sunday. I blow on it. I wave it to Jesus. Look, I know there's a fragrant offering to you. I am now expecting, since I'm being faithful in this unrighteous mammon, you're coming through for me in areas I can't even think about. Right now, I got a new house coming. I got more believers coming to get saved. I know people are going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. My reputation will increase. I know, Lord, that health is in my family, and this isn't a health and wealth gospel, but guess what? I got a health and wealth God. I got a God who wants me to prosper. I got a God who wants me to get ahead. If you're walking around talking about, Lord willing, my family will be saved, you don't know what His will is in salvation yet? Lord willing, they'll be healed. What do you mean, Lord willing? The Bible says He endured stripes for your healing. You don't know His will yet? I know His will. I know what He desires. I know what He finds enjoyable. My offering's a fragrant offering. It's a fragrant aroma. Look, Jesus, I know you around here because I smell good to you. I like it. I go on a date with my wife. I got on new clothes. Put on a little cologne. I don't wear cologne a lot just because I forget. And I don't know. It's not important to me. But when I go out on a date with my wife, I got cologne on. It's like, my kid, you going out with mommy? You know, yeah, I smell good, don't I? Come on. I'm trying to gain her favor tonight. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I mean? We married. Come on. Ain't no thing. Come on. I'm trying to smell good. I'm trying to take, you know, I don't go out on dates to places she don't like. Yeah, baby, come on. We're going to hang out at the shooting range. Come on. Woo! Date night, baby. Because my wife ain't trying to hang out at the shooting range. She wants some dinner. I don't, you know, I go to sushi. I don't eat any seafood at all. Y'all know, I mean, it's tuna out of a pack. That's it. That probably ain't even real tuna. That's probably chicken. Who knows? That is the entirety of my seafood eating. But on date night, when I got on cologne, I'm probably in a seafood place. To me, it stinks. It's an aroma to my wife. We'll go on these Japanese, whatchamacallums, and the lady will come up, and I'll be like, look, I don't know anything on this. I want you to get me some steak. Don't put no vegetables on it, and maybe some peas, and just bring it out. That's all I'm looking for. You have any potato, bring that, and that's what I'm eating. No, you don't. Some noodles with some meat in it. That's all I'm looking for. That's it. She's going to have stuff I can't even bear to look at. But I want it to smell good to my wife, not to me. Why? Because I gain favor with my wife that way. I bring my offering to God. Woo! I know, you see, I put on the cologne. I know things are going to go well. You know what I'm talking about? I smell seafood. Things are going well tonight. You know what I'm talking about? I got the offering out. Lord, I know this smells good to you, baby. Come on, your word says. See, God can ask for the precious things in your life that you give to him because he gave the precious things of his life to you. You hear what I'm saying? Lord, this is so important to me. He's like, yeah, I gave my son. And you don't want to give up your gym membership. I mean, come on. Or what, you know what I'm saying? Whatever God's talking to you about, you know? Oh, Lord, but this is my, you know, I don't want to, you don't want to give up your hoochie dress, you know? And I gave Jesus. Gosh, y'all are dragging this out. Okay, I'll be done. This is my first closing right here. I'm almost done. Well, I'm going long, but. Okay, listen. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You remember this? Remember the several hundred prophets? They were going to have a battle. They were trying to kill him. Elijah said, look, it's not going to rain until I say it rains. You remember this story? You got to read your Bible if you don't. There's these prophets, and he's in a battle, and they want to kill him. Hasn't rained in 3.5 years. And he says, Elijah says, look, we'll offer these offerings, and we'll see whose God is real. Y'all go first, call down fire, and then I'll go. Let's see. And then, you know, nothing happens. And he's like, you know, is your God on the toilet? What's going on? You know, literally, that's what he says. Maybe he's busy, constipated, I don't know. You know, nothing happens, right? So he tells them, look, build an altar. It's okay, y'all done? Y'all done? Anytime. Done? Okay. So when they're done, he gets an offering, right? He gets the wood together. He puts the bull on it. What's he say next? What did he tell him to do? Remember? Put water on it. How precious is 3 barrels of water in the middle of a 3.5 year drought? It's not like they had spigots and big towers that hold water. It's not like they got an aqueduct from another state bringing water in. The Bible said that the streams even dried up. He told him 3 times, no, put more water on it. Can you imagine them? Like, This is precious. Poured it out as an offering. He's like, I'm going to give the precious to you, God, and watch this. The anointing of God falls. Boom, fire ignites it. Not only did the fire fall and consume the sacrifice, his enemies were destroyed. Come on. How much faith do you have in your offering you're giving God? The anointing of God came down. Not only did the anointing come for ministry, but also it destroyed his enemies. Who's got some enemies he destroyed? Come on! Father, your word says. You got to do this in faith. You got to do it in faith. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to run through this real quick. Malachi chapter 3. Let's remember what we talked earlier about God challenging us. Now, so many people preach this out of fear, that if you don't give God money, he's going to curse you. And I just don't see that in the word. How can I have a curse in Christ? I don't get that. But hear this. He says, Malachi 3, verse 6. He says, I'm going to read this fast, so keep up. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, children of Jacob are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. People could say, whoa, I'm all offended and all that. Well, you can do that if you want to. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Here's a good part. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I'll rebuke the devourer for you so that you will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So many people want to focus on the fear, the curse, and I don't believe that's what he's talking about. He's like, you'll be cursed. Well, what do you mean you're going to curse me? No, if you're not faithful to God, your life is already cursed. It's his curse, you know, like when people, things just don't work out for me. Yeah, that's like a curse. Not like, you know, a voodoo hex, you know, Harry Potter thing. That's not what I'm talking about, you know, in a newt and, you know, they got the three toad's feet. That's not, he's talking about, if you're not walking in God's grace, then you're walking according to the natural man, which is a curse. It's a curse. Not to walk in God is a curse. It's just things don't work out. But God is like, look, guess what? You can agree with that. You can come under that, or you can understand by coming in agreement with God, there is a blessing that flows for you. There is a blessing that flows. I want you to give and I want you to say, I am blessed abundantly. Your word says, Lord, more than I can even bear, you will give me. I thank you, Jesus, that even though the enemy is being rebuked as I give this fragrant offering to you. You are now showering blessings upon me, Jesus. Come on, you got to remind God of his word. You got to remind God. Amen? If, I'm going to say this and then we're going to do a declaration and then we're going to close. Thank you, Jesus. He says, listen, if then you've not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? I'm ready to receive true riches. Amen? We're going to do the offering declaration again. Here's what we're going to do. Sergio, can you come up and play? We're going to pray. And I want to speak a blessing. I mean, you've been faithful in your giving. I want to speak a blessing over that. I mean, maybe you've been giving, but not in faith. Maybe you've been doing out of religion. Maybe you've been giving, you know, and out of, you know, without a open heart, without freely, without joyfully. Maybe you've been giving and for some reason that breakthrough isn't happening. Maybe you're giving and the devourer has not been rebuked yet. I want to come into agreement with God's word and rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. Anybody need a blessing today? Hallelujah. Come on, pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We love you and we love your word, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you regularly give us an ability to show you that we're not living according to the natural man, but we're living according to faith. Father, we won't be in fear in our finances, but we will be in faith. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you were a giver, so you gave. You were a giver, so you gave. To teach us to be givers, so you can give. You gave your son and inherited multitudes of sons. We love you today, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. There's a couple people in here right now, and you need miraculous breakthrough in your finances. Not just, you don't just need the hookup, but you're at a crisis right now. I mean, you're at a point of desperation right now. I want to pray for you. I want to hear everybody, if you would just stand to your feet. If you're at a place right now, and I don't just mean like, you know, I need a nicer car. I mean, you're like, homeless is going to come, can't afford the medication. I mean, something serious, like there's serious, dire consequences happening. And I believe the Lord wants to bring breakthrough. If that's you, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we want to pray for you. If that's you, just put one hand in the air. Who is that? Okay, right there, and right here, and right back there. Now, if you're a giver, I want you to gather around these people and lay hands on them. Keep your hand in the air. Keep your hand in the air. I want some givers to gather around these people and lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. If you're a giver, I want you to, hallelujah. Got one right up here in the front row. I need some givers. Lay hands. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Lay hands on them. And we're going to say the offering declaration together. We're going to believe God, okay? Go ahead and put it up. We're going to declare this, the offering declaration. Go ahead and throw that up. Y'all ready? Hello? I wasn't talking to Sergio. Y'all ready? Come on, we're going to see some breakthrough today, amen? Come on, we're going to declare it. Ready? Go. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, estates and inheritances, scholarships and grants, favorable settlements, our own building, fines reduced, checks in the mail, gift and surprises, the Holy Ghost hookup, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessings and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we may have more than enough to give it to the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give a shout to God. Hallelujah! We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Listen, next week, impartation, you want to come expecting. You want to come with a heart of expectancy. We're going to receive the offering at the end of service next week, our special Christmas offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for each and every one of these that have come today. I pray that you would bless them in the name of Jesus, that you would keep them, and those who come to the Christmas party, they won't come, you know, causing problems, you know, no fist fights at the Christmas party. But Father, that we would have a good time and you would just cover your people this week.